canned goods and smiling. In my experience, anybody besides your mom that feeds you is going to want something in exchange for it. I whiz up to Dancer's penthouse, where we like to stretch out in the sun, disarm his booby traps, and poke my head in the door, calling for him. The place is silent and empty. I decide to see if he's got any food in the pantry, 'cause I'm starving. When I get there, I crack up. There's a note taped to a stack of cans sitting smack in the middle of the floor. It's a cryptogram. It's how we leave messages for each other. I pop open can after can of Beanie Weenies and gorge while I solve the puzzle that tells me where he is. There's a lot hidden away in Dublin, just like out at the Abbey. When I first started hanging out in the city, I got one of those sightseeing books and visited all the hot spots like any tourist. I was embarrassed to be a stranger in my own town, never having been out of my cage much. I wanted to know everything everybody else knew, see it all with my own eyeballs instead of watching it on TV or reading about it in a book. I went to Trinity College and toured all the cool stuff there. I never got to go to school, so it was neat to see the classrooms and labs and libraries, and folks being all social instead of being kept by themselves all the time. I couldn't wrap my brain around growing up that way. Mom taught me to read. I taught myself the rest. I hit up the museums, dropped by the brewery, hung out in Temple Bar, visited the catacombs beneath Christchurch Cathedral and St. Michael's Church, and eventually hunted down the underground rivers. I listened when college kids raved about their favorite places and went there, too. I paid attention when old folks talked on the streets about things that used to be. That's how I found Dublin Down. Couple of wrinkly old dudes playing checkers by River Liffey used to work for a mob family and knew some interesting stuff. Beneath a restaurant, run by a dude named Rocky O'Banion, this big-time mobster that disappeared last year in the craziness of the walls coming down, I found it. A honeycomb of tunnels and hidden crypts beyond a pile of rubble, and a series of grated entrances, so complex only someone as curious as me, or a criminal trying to hide bodies and booty, would ever have gone through. Dancer and me mapped out parts, but we still got a lot to explore. That's where I find him now, in one of the underground catacombs, down a collapsed tunnel. Unless you knew how to find the hidden detour, beyond bolted steel doors, hinged into stone, all booby-trapped. The room he's in is long and narrow, and made completely of stone, with those old vaulted fornix ceilings, supported by massive columns, like I only ever seen in ancient crypts and the library at the Abbey. He's got lights set up that I figure have to be battery-powered, 'cause I don't hear a generator, and setting one up to vent down here would take a lot of work. He's standing behind a stone slab that used to hold a corpse, but is now covered with notebooks and envelopes, laptops, bottles, beakers, and burners. Yep, this place is Dancer. Just missing a TV to watch movies on, a fridge and shower. And knowing him, he probably has a hidey hole rigged up nearby with all the conveniences. Any other slab is crammed with bottled water and food. His head is down and he's working on something, deep in thought. Dude, this is feckin' awesome, I say as I step inside. Dancer looks up, and the grin he gives me is blinding. His whole body changes, like he was strung up on wires hanging him from the ceiling, and they just got cut. His shoulders ride lower, his limbs slide smoother. The hard planes of his face relax into the Dancer I know.
Mega!
He says. Then he says it again.
Mega!
That's my name, dude. Don't wear it out. I swagger into the chamber and see he's been collecting things from the scenes, too. Behind him is the piece de resistance, a mystery board. He blew up maps and pieced together an enormous topographical survey of Dublin and the outlying areas, and has pins and notes plastered all over it. I beam. I couldn't have done better myself. This place is the shit, I say.
Thought you'd like it.
He picks his glasses up off the slab, pushes them back on his nose and grins at me. His eyes are red like he's been studying too long. He's tall and lanky and pretty much perfect. I grin back, And we just grin at each other for a few seconds, 'cause we're so happy to see each other again. It's a big city. Sometimes I feel alone in it. Then I see Dancer. I toss my backpack on a nearby folding table and pull out my Ziplocs and photos to add to his board. He comes over, and we sort through them in happy silence, brushing shoulders and grinning at each other. He keeps looking at me like he can't exactly believe I'm there. Dude's acting like he really missed me. We're always glad to see each other, but something's different today. I go to start pinning my photos of the scenes on the board, and I look back at him, 'cause something don't make sense to me, besides how strange he's acting. There ain't this many iced places in Dublin. I gesture at the pins on the board.
There weren't a few weeks ago. It's been escalating.
Dude, there were only 10. You got like 25 pins on this board. You're telling me 15 more places got iced in the past few days?
Mega, the last time I saw you was nearly a month ago. The day we tried to get your sword back from Jane.
I gape. That wasn't a month ago. That was a couple days ago.
No. I haven't seen you for 3 weeks, 4 days, and...
He looks at his watch.
17 hours.
I let out a low whistle. I knew time moved different in Faerie, but it didn't occur to me that the White Mansion was part of Faerie. No wonder Riordan was so pissed at me. I missed work for weeks. A snicker. I must have been driving him crazy. My snicker dies. I forgot for a sec that he was dead. I feel sick all of a sudden, so I tear open a candy bar and eat it.
I was worried.
I look at him. He's looking me right in the eyes, more serious than I ever seen him. It makes me uncomfortable. Like I'm supposed to say something, and I don't know what. I stare back, and we just look at each other for a few seconds. I root around in my repertoire and come up with, Dude, get over yourself. I'm the Mega. You never got to worry about me. I've been on my own forever. I like it that way. I flash him my trademark grin. I get a faint smile in return.
Got the message, Mega. Loud and clear.
He turns around, walks back to the slab. He's not moving smooth anymore. Some of those wires are back. I don't like those wires. They look, I don't know, grown up to me. Just say and don't worry about me. Stupid to worry about me. I can take care of myself.
No, I'm stupid.
I didn't say you were stupid. I said it was stupid to worry about me.
And it, the act of worrying isn't to be confused with the person doing it.
Exactly. I'm the Mega, remember? I kick butt all over Dublin. I don't know what's wrong with him. He's not responding right to anything I'm saying.
Ability to defend oneself has absolutely no bearing on or relevance to deportment or emotional comportment of others.
Huh?
Don't tell me what I can and can't feel. If I feel like worrying about you, I buggering well will.
Dude, no need to get snippy.
I'm not snippy. I'm offended. You were gone nearly a month. Between dodging the psychotic jackass that stalks you day and night, analyzing evidence, and trying to save this city, I've been haunting every iced scene that pops up, visiting them 2 and 3 times a day. Do you know why?
To collect more evidence?
I've been waiting for them to melt enough that I could see if you were in there. Dead. Never to be talking to me again.
I'll stare at him. We never talk about stuff like this. It reeks of a cage to me. Like there's one more person I'm supposed to check in with now. Like my life isn't already owned by too many other folks. I got my sword back now, I say stiffly. I'm not going to get iced.
Invalid. Those two statements have no relevance to each other. None. Zip. Zilch. Nada. The sword won't protect you from getting iced. I'll have notes for you in the pantry of every hideout I've got, and all of yours I could find. Do you know what I heard? Nothing. For almost a month.
Dude, I got the picture. You didn't like not being able to find me. Too bad you can't put a leash on me, huh? Maybe stick me in a cage somewhere. He's pissing me off. I think we're having our first ever fight. It makes me feel sick to my stomach.
Excuse the crap out of me for caring about you.
Dude, what's wrong with you? This ain't us. Why are you ruining us?
Caring about you is ruining us.
Caring is one thing. Trying to lock me up is another. He gives me a look that I just don't get. Like I'm being obtuse when he's the one being obtuse. I thought our way of hanging was clear and well-defined. We're superheroes. He's not sticking to the script. If he keeps deviating, I'm jumping comic books.
My mistake. I won't make it again.
Just like that, he goes back to being Dancer. All business.
That day at the castle was the first time I got a look at what's been freezing things. A lot's happened since then. It freezes a new place just about every day. Royden and his men have been tearing the city apart looking for you. He raided half my stoops. I moved down here to get the bloody feck away from him. He's going to kill you when he finds you.
Not if I kill him first. I mutter around a mouthful of candy bar, pretending I didn't already. When you have a secret that folks would kill you for, you sit mum on it. From everyone. Course, if I'm learning from my mistakes, I should kill Christian, like I didn't kill those stupid lisping fairies that ate Alina and ratted me out to Mac. I'm a little irked that Dancer's back to talking about stuff like we never even had our first spat, because it's a big deal to me. It's going to take me hours to stop feeling nauseous and confused inside. I eat when I get confused. I stuff another candy bar in my mouth.
Even Baron's got in on the hunt. So do those Abbey girls you sometimes hang with. The city keeps getting colder with each new place that's iced. People are falling apart. Nobody knows what to do, how to stop it, or even where it's safe to be anymore.
He steps back and looks at the map.
So far, I haven't been able to discern the pattern. We've got to figure out what it's looking for.
What do you mean, looking for? That was exactly the feeling I picked up with my she-seer senses, but Dancer doesn't have those. I start to feel a little less sick. I don't know if it's the candy bars in my stomach, or thinking about work.
Unless it's behaving in a random, illogical manner, driven by absolutely no biological imperative, which I postulate is antithetical for any sentient life form. It has purpose.
I beam. Our fight forgotten. Got to love a dude that says stuff like postulates and antithetical. I love hanging with you, I tell him. He gives me a look that's vintage Dancer, but a little wary. So I turn up the wattage on my grin till he grins back.
That purpose may be alien enough,
he goes on,
to elude ready detection, but it's there. It's our methods that are lacking. We have to step outside our box and process the facts with no preconceptions. This thing isn't from our world. It doesn't follow our rules or any laws of physics. It appears capable of opening a portal wherever it feels like it. I've seen it do it twice now.
You saw it again? I'm so fucking jealous I could spit.
I've been keeping an eye on Weak here, trying to figure who the head honcho is. Nobody seems to know who started the organization up. A few nights ago, I went to check out one of their prayer meetings. The church where they were holding it got iced when I was half a block away. One minute they were singing, the next I couldn't hear a thing. Seemed like the whole world went still, or I went deaf. I stood in the street and watched. It did exactly the same thing it did at Dublin Castle. Came out of a portal, fogged everything, iced it, opened another portal, and vanished.
I flinch. He was half a block away. What if he'd been, like, one single minute earlier? Then I have a worse thought. What if I hadn't been able to find him for a month? Would I have been freeze-framing from one ice sculpture to the next, waiting for them to melt, wondering if I'd lost my best friend? I'm suddenly ashamed. Dude, sorry I was gone so long. His head whips up, and he gives me a grin that feckin' slays me.
Dude. Thanks. Glad you're back.
I hear you saved my life at the church that night. You're the shit.
No, you are.
We grin at each other for what feels like an hour of heaven, and just like that, everything is okay between us again. We start yakking our heads off like nothing was ever wrong. He tells me scoop about new gangs forming in the city. I tell him about the Unseelie King's library. I can't keep that kind of fascinating stuff to myself. I can tell by how bright his eyes get that he's dying to see it. He tells me a huge fire world IFP almost burned the Abbey to the ground. It evaporated iron and concrete, and if it had made it to the Abbey, nothing would have been left. But Riordan's men stopped it by tethering it stationary to the ground somehow. I don't like that it's out there by the Abbey, tied up or not. It makes me nervous. I tell him about the Bora Bora books, and he laughs his butt off about me chasing unruly sentences down. He fills me in on how We Care started painting buildings white to let folks know it's one of theirs. And if you go in and sign up and attend meetings, they give you all kinds of food and stuff. I tell him about Rajan trying to take over as King of the Fae, and that the ice monster has a name, the Hoarfrost King. I think it's the most we've ever told each other about the daily details of our lives. He tells me food is getting really hard to find. I tell him about the Fae being totally inert at the scenes, and about what Rajan said about it killing Seely and Unseely, deader than dead, wiping them out of all record of existence. I think it might be after folks' life force, I tell him.
But why those scenes? How does it select the ones it chooses, and why does it ice them? And if it wanted people's life force, why wouldn't it go where the greatest number were gathered? As some of these scenes, there were only a few people.
You mean like, why would it ice the small club beneath Chester's when it could have iced the whole place?
It iced part of Chester's.
That was the first place it iced that I know of. It's the reason Riordan dragged me into this mess.
It can't be after life force. It took out a church spire, too. There wasn't a single person or Fae at that scene.
Maybe it was just flying over that spire and accidentally iced it. Or maybe there was a tiny life force, like a mouse there, and it was feeling peckish. He grins.
Maybe.
I kind of doubt it, though. I think we should label them by order of occurrence. Maybe that'll help us see something.
What bites,
he says,
is we can't even tell people something so simple as stay in small groups and you'll be okay. People are scared of their own shadows, Mega. The whole city is on edge, tempers are high, and people are getting into fights over nothing. We've got to figure out what's going on, because if they don't freeze to death first, they'll kill each other. They've lost too much and been afraid too long. While you were gone, there were no Danny Dalys getting out. And in times like these, no news isn't good news. People need to believe someone is in the streets watching out for them.
What about We Care? Aren't they taking their job seriously? Dude, when I was gone, they should have stepped up to the plate, put out more issues. A newspaper's got a responsibility to the people.
The only thing We Care is telling people is that they need to take the white and everything will be all right. Half the city is rushing in to blindly embrace faith. The other half isn't buying it. Toss in the shortage of food and water, and the brutal cold. And we're going to have riots on our hands any day now.
I push my hair out of my face and stare at the mystery board. I count 24 pins. My 9 ziplocks are no longer representative of the scenes. Did you collect debris? He gives me a, what kind of idiot do you think I am, look? And a grin, and picks a box up off the floor that's crammed with more yellow envelopes, like the ones on the slab.
I've been analyzing samples from the scenes, categorizing and isolating commonalities. I took photos, too.
I grin back, because great minds think alike, and it's so feckin' cool to be peas in the megapod. While he opens envelopes, I get back to pinning pictures of the scenes where they go on our mystery board. I thought my life force idea was right, until he pointed out 2 glaring flaws. Feck. It's a good thing I got my impartial ziplocks of evidence. I start to snicker, then remember again that Riordan's dead. It's hard for me to remember for some reason, like I thought he was eternal or something. I got no clue why it feels like such a kick in the teeth every time I think about it. Sure, I let the hag out, but he's the dude that failed to dodge her. I don't move as fast as him, and I managed to get away. 8 hours later, I can hardly see straight. Alternately staring at bits of debris, then studying the map is making me bug-eyed. I've been awake for 3 days, juiced on a constant sugar rush from candy bars, sodas, and the pall of something hanging over me that makes me nuts. Guilt. Guilt is for losers. Guilt is for folks who have stupid things like regrets. I contemplate the notion that maybe regrets are a process of accumulation of time, as unavoidable as a closet full of clothes and more bags of them in the attic. Is accumulated baggage what makes people get old? If so, they need to clean out their feckin' attics, send the stuff to consignment shops, and remember how to walk around naked, like kids, little bellies sticking out, always ready for a good laugh. The second I kill the crimson hag, I'm sending my guilt straight to hell where it can burn. Problem is, I'm stuck with it till then, and it's making me even testier than hormones. I don't like feeling responsible for crap. Like little anchors holding me still on my happy sea that's got an even grander adventure waiting just beyond the next wave. There's a bit of everything in the plastic bags. Splinters of wood from church pews, stained glass, hair, bits of bone and carpet and leather, dirt, plastic, food, human parts, unseelie parts. There are chunks of white crystal and shreds of yoga mats, parts of phones, teeth, jewelry, fragments of various electronics, bits of iron bars, a piece of a washboard, metal racking. There's paper and plastic wrappers, part of a fingernail with a finger bone fused to it, a hearing aid, half a driver's license, and so on. We make a list of each scene's contents, tack it to the murder board, and cross off anything that wasn't in every single bag. We're left with mystery debris, which is what we decide to call the dirt stuff at the bottom of each Ziploc, metal and plastic.
Does this stuff feel, I don't know, weird to you, Mega?
I scoop a chunk of crystal into my palm and hold it a second. It's colder than it should be, like it's still partly iced. It doesn't warm up no matter how long you hold it.
No, there's something else. I can't put my finger on it.
Oh, wait. I didn't go to school, and I'm a little in awe of how much stuff Dancer knows. If he says there's something else, there is. He muses aloud.
If it's not after life forces, how is it selecting its scenes? It might not be metal or plastic that the thing is after, which is at every scene in some form, but an ingredient in metal or plastic. The thing could be hunting infinitesimal traces of something.
I push a pile of old bones to the edge of a stone slab, stretch out next to them, fold my arms behind my head, and begin mentally rebuilding the scenes to what they were before they blew, thinking it might be easier to find a commonality before they were reduced to rubble. Like some kind of theoretical vitamin or mineral it needs in order to accomplish something it wants to do?
Or a common element at the scenes that makes it think what it wants might be at that scene,
Dancer says. Huh?
It could be like a fisherman, going wherever there's salt water because he's looking for a whale. We wouldn't necessarily ever find a whale, but we would always find salt water. If we can figure out what draws it, we're halfway to stopping it.
We still got 3 scenes we don't have samples from. The 2 that Rajan said got iced in Fairy, and the 1 under Chester's.
Can you ask Ryden to help us get samples? From what I hear, pretty much everybody owes that dude something.
All my mental pictures shatter when Dancer says his name, and suddenly I'm seeing 2 images at the same time. Ryden on level 4 laughing, having sex, more alive than anybody I ever met, except of course me. And Ryden, bled out in the alley, guts draping down the side of a building, cracking a joke while he dies. And I'm thinking the most fecked up thought. I hardly even got to know him. Yes, I did, I mutter, pushing myself up, because if I'm going to puke my candy bar, I'm not going to be on my back while I do it.
Did what?
Dancer says. I always fought with him and kept saying I hated him. He deserved it. He was the most arrogant, irritating fecker I've ever known.
Deserved what? Who was?
Looks like I'll have to start calling Ryden TP too, because he's making my stomach cramp. I don't like him not being in the world. Does this mean my contract expired? Or can one of the other dudes call it in? You just never know with dudes like them. I don't ever want to go into Chester's again, and I don't want to go into BB&B again, assuming I could, because it's just B&B now. and the critical ingredients that made both places so exciting and larger than life had nothing to do with the places themselves.
What contract?
Now that those critical ingredients are gone forever, I got a bad feeling about Dublin, about the whole world. Like I might have tilted the planet on its axis in some strange, new, and not nearly as safe a position by eliminating them.
Mega!
Dancer's standing in front of me.
Talk to me.
We can't ask Riordan nothing, I tell him.
Why not?
I rub my eyes and sigh. I killed him. I wake up with my neck all crinked and a Ziploc bag stuck to my cheek by drool. I lift my head an inch or two and peek out from under my hair, hoping Dancer isn't looking at me. And when I find him staring at the mystery board, I swallow a sigh of embarrassed relief. I peel the bag from my face, wipe the drool off with my shirt, and rub at the grooves in my cheek. I can feel part of a ring indent in it, plus a couple of those zipper lines. I don't even remember falling asleep. But somewhere along the way, I just dropped my head on the stuff I was examining and passed out. A few hours? More? What time is it?
What day, you mean?
Dude, tell me I didn't sleep that long.
You needed it. I'm not sure you're going to be able to move, though. I've never seen anyone sit on a stool, drop her head on a slab, and not move for 15 hours. I thought about getting you to stretch out somewhere more comfortable. You changed my mind.
He turns around and grins at me. He's got a busted lip.
You had no intention of being moved. You decked me in your sleep.
Oh, dude, sorry. I have no memory of it.
No worries, Mega.
My stomach growls loud enough to wake the dead, and he says,
I got something I've been saving for you.
He rummages around in one of his bags on the floor, pulls out a box and tosses it to me. I light up like a Christmas tree. Fucking A! Pop-Tarts! Where did you find Pop-Tarts? I haven't seen any for months. Even before the walls fell, they could be tough to find. And they're my favorites. Chocolate with frosting. I rip open a pack and munch happily away. I polish off the first two in a quick inhale, then slow down to savor every delicious, preservative-packed, sugar-crammed crumb of the remaining six. When the walls fell, all the good stuff, which is the bad-for-you stuff, got taken off the shelves first. Soda and liquor went real fast. Candy, cake, cookies, pies, things like that were next. Pop-Tarts, all the sugary cereal, flew off the shelves too. I'm as guilty as the next person. Funny thing is, nowadays, I'd just about give my right arm for a hot meal of fresh slow-cooked pot roast, carrots, peas, bread and gravy. Still, Pop-Tarts are close to heaven, and Dancer got them for me, which makes them taste twice as good. I eat, and he tells me everything he considered and discarded while I was sleeping, so I can poke holes in his theories, if there are any. When he's done talking, we're no closer to conclusions than we were before I fell asleep. So all we've still got is that every scene has dirt, some kind of plastic and metal at it.
Actually, it's dirt, plastic, and iron. The metal in every one of the Ziplocs is largely iron.
Iron is what we use to imprison the Fae.
I know. Remember how much worse the Unseelie at Dublin Castle got iced?
I nod. I thought it was because there were so many of them.
It also happens to be the location with the most iron. Tons of the stuff was used to build those cages.
Where was the iron at the other scenes?
Old railroad tracks run right next to where they were washing clothes out in the country. I checked maps and discovered railroad tracks run past four other scenes. I found iron bullets in two of the bags. The church steeple had enormous cast iron bells. The fitness center had part of a cast iron teapot and iron chime fragments. At another scene, there were several older cars that had frames of iron. They don't make them like that anymore. At Dublin Castle, there are all those iron cages. The racking in one of the old warehouses was made of iron.
He goes on, detailing location after location. Why iron? Why not, say, steel? Isn't steel iron?
Iron gets turned into steel. What I'm seeing is a preponderance of unworked iron, like the railroad tracks, bells, and bars. Old stuff. You don't see a lot of iron anymore. You see composites. Steel is stronger, and iron rusts. You know how old railroad tracks are almost always red with it?
You think we need to go back to the scenes and see if it took the iron?
No. I'm wondering if iron is in the salt water, if that's what draws it.
But what is it after? He shrugs.
Who knows? Who cares? I only want to know two things. How to lure it to us, and how to get rid of it. Its goals are irrelevant.
But Fay hate iron.
I know. That's what makes me wonder if it's drawing it somehow. I'm not saying it's coming to iron because it likes it. Maybe it's trying to destroy the iron by icing it. Maybe one of the Fae summoned it to destroy the only means we have of imprisoning them. Maybe trying to understand something that can open a multidimensional portal, sail across the sky, open another portal and vanish, is as much an exercise in futility as trying to divine the motives of God.
You believe in God?
Dude, only God could have created physics.
A snicker. Or Pop-Tarts. He grins.
See? There you are. Proof of the divine. All in the chocolate smudge around your mouth.
I got chocolate on my face?
Kinda hard to see with all those Ziploc lines, but yeah.
I sigh. Someday I'm going to be a round dancer with no guts in my hair, no weird clothes on, no black eyes or blood, and no food on my face. He probably won't recognize me. But what about those two places in Faerie? I'll say.
What about them?
There's no way there's iron in Faerie.
Assumption. Potentially erroneous. The walls came down. Everything got fractured. And Faerie has been bleeding through to our world. Maybe parts of our world are bleeding through to Faerie. And there are railroad ties or bells in those parts. We need samples from Faerie.
And how the feck are we going to get those? Why don't we just try to lure it with iron and see what happens?
That's plan B. Let's try to get samples first, and I'll keep analyzing this stuff. There's something I'm missing. I can feel it in my gut. I need more time with the evidence. Besides, even if we got it to come, what will we do with it then? We need to know what draws it and how to stop it. You get the samples, I'll work on the rest. If there's no iron in Faerie, we know we're back at square one without having to round up tons of iron and find a place to stack it all up where nobody will get hurt.
I push up and head for the door. As I'm leaving, he says,
Don't go to Faerie yourself, Mega. Make a sift to do it for you. We can't lose another month. I've got a bad feeling about these ice places.
Cause they keep exploding? He takes off his glasses and rubs his eyes.
No. Like there's something worse about them. A lot worse. I can't explain, it's just a hunch.
I know, Dancer. When he gets a hunch, what that really means is his subconscious is seeing something he hasn't wrapped his conscious brain around yet. Every time he's ever told me he had a hunch, he's worked his way around an epiphany. I trust him like I never trusted anybody. If he wants samples and more time, he's got it. I head up and out into the Dublin night. A light snow has fallen. The moon has a blood-red ring. There's one sure place to find a sift in Fae. Conveniently, it's also the third place we need a sample from. With luck, I'll be back here in a few hours with the final three Ziplocs to complete our evidence chain. My luck ain't been so good lately. 33. Who's your daddy? Chester's. Fickin' A. I hate this place even more than I used to. The line outside tonight is nuts. It's 0 degrees in Dublin. Snow's begun to fall in earnest. There's a killer wind kicking up, and still 5 blocks of folks are shivering outside, bundled in layers of clothing, huddled together waiting to get in. I blast past them in fastmo, skidding on an icy spot. Whiz around one of Riordan's human bouncers, who's got his hands too full controlling the crowd to stop me, jump the ladder down to the main entrance, and explode through tall black doors into the club. It's rockin' tonight, same as always. Music thumping, lights flashing, folks partying up a storm. We got something icing our city, killing innocents everywhere, turning it into an Arctic zone in June, and this is what folks are doing about it. Dancing. laughing, getting drunk, getting laid, acting like the walls didn't fall. The world didn't lose half the human race, and nothing's changed. I stand on the platform inside the door that overlooks it all for a sec, scowling, blowing on my hands, trying to warm them up. I need gloves, and a scarf and earmuffs. The scowl doesn't last long, because I get distracted from being pissed by the song that's playing. It's one of my oldie faves from a few decades back, heavy on bass, and it's so loud it vibrates the soles of my combat boots all the way up my legs and into my belly. My bones rumble with resonance. I love music because it's so fucking brilliant. Music is math, and math is the structure of everything, and pretty much perfect. Before everything got so crazy, Dancer was teaching me stuff about math that dazzled me. My scowl comes back. Joe's in the kiddie sub club, dressed all sexy, laughing at something some skanky waitress said, moving sleek and pretty with the music as she goes from table to table, chatting up the customers, and occasionally looking around, like she's keeping an eye on things in general, or watching for someone. She's still got those highlights and sparkly boobs. I'll be real glad when that stuff's gone, and she's the Joe I know again. I'm going to make her quit tonight. We don't owe a dead man anything, and if the other dudes think to try to enforce our contracts, well, we're walking out anyway, and they could just try. I groan and roll my eyes, realizing I can't make her quit tonight, because I can't tell her he's dead. I can't tell nobody he's dead. Only me, Christian, and whoever moved their bodies, assuming it wasn't Christian, know they got killed. It's only been 3 days. Folks might not decide he's dead for a while yet. Knowing her, she'll stick around for weeks, hoping he comes back. I feel a little perturbed. I've been gone almost a month, and she doesn't look sad at all. Didn't she miss me? Worry about me? I shove that thought away and look up at the ceiling, eyeing the girders, wondering what kind of metal was used in the construction of Chester's. If this place is as old as it seems, I'd think it'd have to be iron, because I don't think the method of making steel was figured out till recent times. Well, recent in terms of how old this place is. Then I wonder how old iron is. Then I wonder if Riordan and his dudes just spelled the whole mess together. Or maybe they created their own kind of metal, or brought it with them from whatever planet they were born on. I wonder who's in charge now that I killed Barons and Riordan. Lore? As if my thoughts conjured him, I hear him say behind me, real close to my ear.
Ah, honey, you got some nerve coming here.
I turn around to say suspiciously, what do you mean by that? But he's not there by the time I complete my rotation. I wonder if I imagined him, a product of my guilty conscience. Then I decide if I really did hear him say what I thought he said, he was only referring to how Riordan's been looking for me for a month, and now I waltz in like I never been gone, and he thinks Riordan's going to toast my ass for missing work so long. Because, like, he doesn't know Riordan's dead either. This is exactly why I hate lies. The second you tell one, you know something everybody else doesn't know, and you have to constantly keep reminding yourself to behave like you don't know it, so they don't decide you're acting weird and figure out you know something they don't. If they do, they'll back you against a wall and demand to know why you're acting weird, and you'll say something stupid, and they'll use it to trip you up with. Then everything comes spilling out, and you're in 10 kinds of trouble. It's so much easier not to tell any lies to begin with. This is going to be a tough pretending gig. Reminders of Riordan are everywhere here. Heck, Riordan is Chester's. It's hands down the hardest place to pretend he's not dead that I could possibly be. But I need those samples. The HFK is icing something practically every day, and Dancer thinks things are going to get worse. I spot a sifter down in the tuxedo club and grin. The gray bitch. This is one I'm going to love laying the flat of my sword against and ordering around. Mac promised not to hunt her, but I never took no such stupid oath. And besides, I'm not hunting her. I'm just going to threaten her into doing something for me. Hand hovering over the hilt of my sword, I map out the grid as best I can. considering most things on it are moving. Not that I'm unjabbing all these idiots with my elbows and freeze frame down the stairs. At the last minute, I detour from the Tuxedo Club and head for Joe. I want to see her face when she sees me. See how glad she gets to know I'm alive. She must have been as worried about me as Dancer, and it's only right to put her mind at ease. Danny, what are you doing here? Joe goes white as a sheet when I whiz to a stop in front of her. Are you crazy? Not the reaction I expected. Where's the look of relief? The big hug? The excitement to see me alive and back here again? What are you talking about? Riordan's been looking for you for a month. You broke your contract with him. And according to that, I say irritably, you should be dead. But you're not. Fact is, you look pretty darn good to me. Guess boinking him kept you alive, huh? You've been doing it all this time. Didn't he get tired of you? She flushes. He said it wasn't fair to take out his displeasure at you on me. Riordan's a smart man. He makes good decisions. He's not impulsive, like some people. She gives me a pointed stare. I'm disgusted. Oh, he was just is a feckin' saint now, huh? He's a fine man. You should give him a chance. He's a dead man, is what he is. I blurt because I can't feckin' stand to hear her defending him. Would you quit making threats about him every time you turn around? It's getting old. She lowers her voice. You need to get out of here before he catches you. I've never seen him like he's been since he hasn't been able to find you. I ain't scared of Riordan. God, I wish I could just tell her. You should be. You pushed him too far this time, Danny. I don't know what he's going to do when he sees you, and I'm not sure I can stop him. I don't think he'll listen to even me about you. He's never going to find out because he's dead. But that's not what I fixate on. What do you mean, even you? Like you're some kind of special to him? She blushes and gets this soft-eyed look on her face like a sap in love. We're a couple, Danny. It's been over a month and we're exclusive. All the waitresses are talking about it. They never thought anybody would, you know, get a man like him to settle down. I just stare at her, blinking. Riordan ain't exclusive with nobody. Settled down? Tornadoes touch down. They don't settle. They leave destruction in their wake. Not shiny, happy people. I feel sick inside at the idea of him and Joe setting up house together, making plans for the future. As feckin' if! What am I going to be? Their little fetch-it dog? I shake my head, reminding myself again that Riordan's dead. How does she keep getting me all distracted? Talking like he's alive is confusing me. I ain't talking to you anymore. I got things to do. Maybe you noticed Dublin is turning into the North Pole? Of course I have. You're the one that took off for a month and didn't tell anyone that you were going to Faerie with Christian. Huh? I gape at her. How'd you know that? Christian told me. Scary, unseelie Prince Christian dropped in and told you I was okay. I don't know why he came, but he overheard me talking with Carmack yesterday in the Tux Club about how worried I was about you, and he said the two of you had just gotten back and you were fine. I'm not going to breathe a word to Riordan, even though we tell each other everything. But I don't appreciate you putting me in a position where I have to lie to him. Now get out of here before he comes down. Things are calm tonight. I'd like them to stay that way. Tell each other everything? She's wrong on all counts. Riordan was the most keep-it-to-yourself dude I ever met. Things aren't calm in here. As usual, they're a catastrophe waiting to happen. And he ain't ever coming down again. So I'm walking away from Joe, heading toward the Tuxedo Club to commandeer the Grey Bitch's services, when somebody crashes into me from behind so hard I go flying into one of the fluted columns at the exit of the Kitty Sub Club. I end up hugging it to keep myself from puddling to the floor. I hit it so hard I'm going to have another black eye and the whole left side of my face is already working itself into the mother of all contusions. I think, who the feck would dare attack me when I'm carrying so blatantly? Mac? Because she hates me so much it made her stupid? I didn't hide my sword when I came in. I peeled my leather coat back so everybody could see it's mine again. I stumble away from the column and am about to turn when I get slammed into it again. This time, I swear I see stars and hear cuckoo birds whistling. My hand falls off the hilt of my sword. I'm so dazed. I hear Joe yelling behind me.
Stop it! Don't hurt her! Stop it!
I get slammed again as soon as I start to move. This time, I bust my lip against the column. It pisses me off so bad that I shift up into fast mo, grab my sword and yank it out. If it's Mac, I don't want to hurt her. I just want to run. But she's really got to stop pushing me around in front of the whole feckin' club. I got a reputation to consider. It's gone from my hand before I can even turn around. I get slammed again, and I bite the feckin' column a fourth time.
You move one more time. I'll rip your fucking heart out.
I go still as the slate unseely chunks at the iced scenes. That was not Riordan that just spoke behind me, because he, like, got gutted and died. Apparently I'm having hallucinations. Either that, or a ghost is haunting me. It would figure the dude would come back from the dead just to make my life miserable. He was such a pro at it when he was alive. I'm crushed so tight between the column and whatever's behind me, I almost can't breathe. You can't be here, I say. You're dead. He slams me into the column again, and I make an involuntary squeak.
I first learned of your existence when you were 9 years old,
he says.
Fade told me he'd seen a human child on the streets that could move like us. He advocated, as did the rest of my men, killing you immediately. I have rarely found it necessary to kill human infants. They don't live long anyway.
That sure sounds like Riordan. Cold, void of inflection. Maybe Riordan had a twin brother I knew nothing about. If not, I've gone completely nuts and being tormented by a guilty conscience in a weird and incredibly real way. He died. I watched it happen. There was no mistaking it. I try to move my hand, thinking to wipe blood from my face. He crushes it in his fist so hard my bones grind together.
I said don't fucking move, not a hair on your head. Got it.
Another Riordan characteristic. No question mark. I hate being cued so I don't say anything. A bone snaps in my little finger. Gently. Precisely. Like he's showing me he could break them all one at a time if he felt like it. I grit my teeth. Got it.
When you were 10, Castillo told me you'd somehow gotten a sword. Again my men advocated I take it and kill you. Again I felt the mewling pup would die soon enough.
I'm not a pup, and I don't mule. Ow, you said don't move, I didn't, I spoke.
Don't. And you will mule before the night is over. In a moment I'm going to step back and let you go. You will turn around and follow me, walking behind me. You will not speak to anyone. You will not look at anyone. If anyone but me speaks to you, you will not answer. You will not move any part of your body that is not absolutely necessary to get you up the stairs and into my office. If you deviate from my orders in any way, I will break your left leg in front of the entire club. If you piss me off while I'm doing it, I will break your right leg. Then I'll carry you up the stairs I'm currently giving you the choice to walk up, and break both your arms. I trust I've made myself clear. Answer me.
Clear as the floor of your office. He can't be alive. I watched the hag scrape his guts out and sew them up into her dress. Surely he wouldn't really break all my arms and legs. Would he? The presence behind my back is gone, and I'm floored for a second by how cold I am. I hadn't realized how much heat he was throwing off until he was gone. There's no way he's alive. It can't be Riordan behind me. Is Baron's alive then too? How could they be? I know they're tough to kill and all, but folks don't survive being gutted. Where did they get new guts from? Did somebody take them back from the hag and sew them both up again? Will he look like Frankenstein's monster? I don't want to turn around. I don't like any of the possibilities confronting me. If it's not Riordan, I've gone nuts. If it is Riordan, dude, I'm dead.
Turn around, kid.
I can't make my feet move. I can't wrap my brain around that he's standing behind me. I'm shaking like a leaf. Me? What the fuck is wrong with me? I'm tougher than tough. I ain't scared of nothing.
Now.
I take a deep breath and turn around. I absorb his face, his body, the way he stands, the look in his eyes, the arrogant, faint smile. It's either Riordan or a perfect clone. I do something I can't believe I do. I hate hormones. I hate Chesters. And I bloody feckin' hate Riordan. I'm never going to be able to live this down. I burst into tears. Riordan turns and stalks off for the stairs. I trail miserably behind him. The whole feckin' club is watching Danny Mega O'Malley cry and walk behind Riordan without saying a word, like a dog brought to heel. I can't fucking believe it. I hate my life. I hate myself. I hate my stupid face. I want to snap. He broke my ribs, and I'm crying from the pain of one of them puncturing my lung. But I'm tough, and I'll kick his ass, and be okay, and then I'll kick all of your asses, too. To save face. But I'm pretty sure if I say a word, he really will break my leg. I wipe angrily at my eyes. My stupid pansy-betraying eyes with their stupid pansy-betraying tear ducts. The whole club has gone silent. Folks and Fay part a wide path to let us walk through. I've never taken a long walk of shame before, and it chafes real bad. Joe's standing there, white-faced, looking from me to Riordan's back, and back at me again. She might be his flavor of the month, but I can tell by the look on her face that she's afraid of pushing him. She mouths, "Apologize. Bend, or he'll break you." Over my dead body. The Mega doesn't bend. I pass Laura at the bottom of the steps to the upper level. I turn my face away because I can't stand him to see me being such a baby. He leans in close and says soft-like against my ear.
Honey, you might just have saved your life with those tears. I thought you had too much ego and too little common sense to know when to turn on the waterworks. He can't stand a woman crying. It fucks him up every time.
I look at him. He winks at me. I flash fire at him with my eyes, because I ain't allowed to use my tongue. They say, I ain't a woman, and I ain't crying, and I ain't afraid of nothing.
He can deal with not being able to control you as long as you let the world believe he does. He's king here, honey. Kings can't be challenged publicly.
Nobody controls me, ever, my eyes snarl. And I challenge whoever the feck I want whenever I feckin' feel like doing it. He grins.
I hear you, kid. Loud and clear. Just remember what I said.
I jut my jaw and follow Riordan up the stairs. He turns on me the second I close the door.
Turn it off. You don't cry. I expect you not to cry. Stop it this fucking instant.
I'm not crying. I got stuff in my eyes when you slammed me into the column. And I expect dead people to stay dead. So I guess we both got disappointed, huh?
Is that what you are? Disappointed? You watched me get gutted and die, and now that I'm standing in front of you alive, you feel disappointed?
Did I just hear, like, 3 question marks?
Do not fuck with me right now.
He slams me back into the wall so hard I feel the pain rumble behind my back. You don't care what I feel. You never have. You just order me around and expect me to obey and get pissy if I don't. I'm nothing to you, so don't pretend you give a royal rat's ass what I feel.
Loyalty stems from what you feel or don't. You aren't on thin ice, kid. You're underwater, and my hand is on your head holding you down. So choose well. D is for disappointed to see me, and death. L is for loyalty and life. Convince me I should let you live.
His face is an inch from mine. He's breathing hard, and I feel violence in him. Lors said I should use my tears to manipulate him. There's no way I'm stooping to such wussy girl depths. I'm just as big and bad as he is. He's alive. He's here, bullying me, no doubt getting ready to eventually, after he's done killing me, order me to report to work again. We're back to being us, Robin to his Batman. He's alive. Tears stream from my eyes.
Stop it!
He slams me back into the wall again so hard my teeth clatter, but the idiotic tears just keep coming. I bounce off and use the ricochet to smash into him as hard as I can. He grabs my wrist when I hit him, and when he goes flying back, takes me with him. We crash into his desk. I go flying up on it, roll over it, and leap to my feet, tossing my hair from my eyes. I slam my palms against the desk and snarl across it. Don't you think I would if I could? Do you think I liked looking all sissified in front of your whole feckin' club? In front of you! You stupid feckin' stupid ficker! What were you doing outside that wall anyway? Why did you have to be right there, in that exact spot when we came out? I mean, who has that kind of crap look? Ever since I started to hang with you, my life has been a total fucking nightmare. Couldn't you just stay dead? He slams his hands down on the desk so hard it cracks down the middle.
Not convincing me.
I glare through my tears. Not trying to. I don't convince nobody of nothing. You take me or leave me just the way I am. But I ain't changing for you or nobody else, and I ain't faking either. And if you think breaking my bones one by one is going to accomplish a thing besides, like, breaking my bones, good luck with that. I'm sobbing now and don't have any clue why. Just that it feels like ever since I came out of the wall with the Crimson Hag and watched it kill Barons and Riordan, I've been all trussed up in one great big painful knot. And the second I looked at him and realized he was alive, really, truly alive, and I wasn't going to have to walk around for the rest of my life with his death on my head, never seeing his smug-ass smile again, that knot relaxed. And when it let go, everything in me came apart, and my whole self heaved a sigh of relief. And somewhere, I guess I got a well of tears in me. Like, maybe everybody has a certain allotment of them. And if you never let them out, the second a single one sneaks out, it opens a floodgate, and you can't shut it again. Why doesn't anyone ever tell me the rules of life? If I'd known it worked this way, I would have taken myself off somewhere private and cried until I'd used up my quota. This is worse than getting off on the wrong foot when I'm freeze framing. This is emotional careening with no control. I look at him, and I think, criminy, if only Alina could have stood back up from what I did to her. Matt could have had her sister back, and I wouldn't have to walk around all the time, every single minute of every single day, hating myself, because even though I'm pretty sure Ro did something to me that night that made me some kind of automaton that didn't have a will of her own, I was there. I was there. I led her to the spot where